AK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The Israel-Hamas ceasefire ended Tuesday with a massive barrage of Israeli missiles. Hundreds of deaths reported. ABC News contributor and former Defense Department official Mick Mulroy.
We had 2 months of a ceasefire. That means that the Israeli intelligence didn't have to stop. So they probably were trying to find Hamas leaders, certain strong points of Hamas. So they were ready to go when the ceasefire broke, and it broke. And that's what I think led to all these strikes.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Israel won't back down until all the hostages are released. President Trump's high-stakes call with Vladimir Putin Tuesday lasting 2.5 hours. Putin rejecting a U.S. plan for a 30-day Ukraine ceasefire, but agreeing to stop attacks on Ukraine's energy infrastructure. NASA astronauts Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams made their long-awaited return to Earth Tuesday from the International Space Station in a SpaceX capsule, closing out a saga that began with a bungled test flight more than 9 months ago. This is ABC News. The young man believed to be the last to see a missing college student alive appears in a Dominican Republic courtroom.
Joshua Reby appearing in a Dominican courtroom surrounded by cameras. The attorneys for the 22-year-old Iowa man pleading with a judge to allow him to return home to the U.S. Reby saying in court, "I understand I'm here to help, but it's been 10 days and I can't leave." Reby appearing stoic and pensive. He is believed by investigators to have been the last to see University of Pittsburgh student Sadiksha Kananke before she vanished. Telling the judge before Kananke's family left the Dominican Republic, they thanked me and gave me hugs goodbye.
ABC's Ariel Reshef. The National Transportation Safety Board says sun glare might have been the cause of a close call at Chicago's Midway Airport in February. A deputy in Putnam County, Tennessee, says the Lord put him in the right place at the right time to save the life of a toddler choking on a nickel. Dave Packer, ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave,
that prevents child abuse.
And high quality, affordable child care
prevents child abuse too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to preventchildabuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
The Bucks hit the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks begin a long road trip, playing five different teams out west over the next 10 days. Tonight, they face the Golden State Warriors. College basketball, while Wisconsin and Marquette get ready for March Madness later this week, the Badger football team's spring practices are underway in Madison. Head coach Luke Fickell talked about the team's offense with a new coordinator, a new quarterback, and a lot of new players.
Obviously, day one, I think most important thing is efficiency to what we're trying to do. Right? I mean, there's a lot of new offense. I mean that in people. I mean that in just, you know, making sure we understand how we got to do things together. I think we're a little bit further along than, you know, I've really kind of spent a lot of time in football the last month and a half, 2 months, with just some walkthroughs and things, not just training and things like that, but doing a lot of football. And that's going to be real important to us.
That's the Badgers football coach, Luke Fickell, with Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Gwyneth Paltrow says that she and Timothée Chalamet have a lot of sex together, in a new film, that is. In a recent interview with Vanity Fair, Paltrow talked about her new film, Marty Supreme. Chalamet plays a professional ping pong player and Paltrow his love interest. Throughout the interview, Paltrow tries to make ping pong sound sexy, like Chalamet's character learned on the streets. Gwyneth made a point to say there was no intimacy coordinator on the set and that they handled the love scenes themselves. Sources have not confirmed or denied that to enhance the mood on the set, Paltrow lit a whole mess of scented candles she used to sell that supposedly smelled like her private parts. Google it. It's real. Timothy Chalamet is also prepared to launch a personal product of his own. It's a mustache comb called One Day I Might Need This. Marty Supreme will be released Christmas Day of 2025. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, the wind picking up, a low in the low 30s. Snow showers for tomorrow, 1 to 3 inches possible, but breezy. Gusts to 40 miles an hour with some blowing snow. A high in the mid-30s. Sunny and near 40 Thursday.
Right now it's 31.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Bosch legacy actor Scott Clase to the show. Then Nightlight pal and Madison film critic Rob Thomas joins the show and gives us some fantastic recommendations. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Kevin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Civic Media is growing.
It is.
And we would like for you to join us.
Come on along, friends.
Check out our job openings at civicmedia.us/careers. We're looking for producers. Mm-hmm. Greg, you're a producer.
I am.
Calvin?
That guy's a producer.
Calvin, do you like producing? Especially for this program?
Oh, yes, it is. A dream come true.
End it with
no
to
pressure,
produce for Matt
no
and Aaron.
Pressure, come on. No pressure involved.
Just working at Civic Media in general, Greg, is a dream come true. But it is a privilege and an honor to produce Matt and Air on Air.
Well done, Kevin.
All right, I'll pay you later.
Well, yeah, well, you got your $5. That's yep. Coming. No, seriously, if you're considering, maybe you always thought you'd like to get into radio. Mm-hmm. Maybe you always thought you'd like to try something new. When I first started here, I started as a producer for Kristen Bry. I learned a whole new skill set.
Yeah.
Which makes me really happy that someone of my advanced age, you can learn new things.
I'm glad you did that, but I wouldn't say advanced.
But you know what I'm saying? I think we get to a certain point in our lives and it's like, I can't learn that.
But that's just it. Oh, Shane, that's where I want you to give yourself some credit. A lot of people say, I can't do that. And you know what you said? Yes, I can do that.
It took a while, but still. And
exactly.
Now I, wherever I go after this. Mm-hmm. I have those skills. I can take them with me.
Exactly.
So check it out. Go to civicmedia.us/careers and take a look. Send in your application. We would love to have you grow with us. Civicmedia.us. Coming up this hour after the 11:30 news, we're going to talk about what hobbies you picked up during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Sourdough starter. That's all I saw. There was lots of bread baking.
There was a lot of bread baking. There was a lot of just very, very intricate crafting happening.
Definitely.
Lots of crafting.
So what did you pick up during the pandemic? Are you still doing it?
Yeah.
Or once it was over, you're like, thank God I don't have to bake bread anymore. And then we will wrap up the show.
I'm gluten intolerant.
We'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, courtesy of Calvin, Butterfly Kisses Edition. Oh, it's so good. Stay tuned for that. I think it's important that we go back 5 years.
Okay.
To the outbreak of the COVID pandemic.
Yeah.
And we would love to hear from you. Where were you when you heard about it? Where mm-hmm. were you when you heard you weren't going back to work? What are your earliest memories when you heard about the COVID pandemic and what was happening in our country? 855 and around the world.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter.
I want to throw one more question in there is if you had to keep working and not remotely, like my wife, when COVID happened, They were like, stay home. We'll send you computers. We'll do all the things. If you had to go back into the office or go back into your workplace.
Or the grocery store.
What was that like? I mean, did that push you out of that job? Like, we want to know how it affected you, because I believe the pandemic is over. They've, you know, all the scientists have said we are no longer in that phase anymore. But I do believe it lingers. There's a residue. It's always going to be with us. There's a trauma to the whole thing. And it affected people in so many ways in those first, in that first month to 6 weeks, where we saw just it happen, the country come together, and then the eventual just, I need a haircut.
Yeah.
Into what we have become today.
I need my nails done. Yeah. Okay. 855-752-4842. I'm particularly interested in talking to folks who were deemed essential workers.
Yes.
And that included grocery store employees. They had to go to work.
Yep.
Because people still needed food.
Yep.
And I was lucky because I was deemed an essential worker for the radio station I was working at the time. But they gave us special, we had a special certificate in case we got pulled over by the cops on the way to or from work, saying Jane Matinier is an essential employee. Mm-hmm. She is coming to work at X and, you know, and all that stuff. I never got pulled over, but I carried it with me for at least 2.5 years. From what I recall, and again, I was working in a news department at the time, I can remember sitting around this great big table with a whole bunch of people, and the prevailing belief seemed to be, it's going to be over in 2 weeks.
Well, that was the prevailing belief from even some of the experts. They were talking about the idea that we just need to stay inside, flatten the curve, stop the spread. They had all these great sayings, and they really had convinced most people, like, hey, this it's going to pass. If we just do this little bit of work together, 2 weeks, we'll be good to go. And, of course, I bought it.
Did you really? Really?
It just felt like, you know, I've never seen anything like this before. So the idea that a virus coming through could do that kind of damage was sort of like, well, of course not. This is like a movie. Like, this is craziness. It'll be 2 weeks and we'll be done. We'll be back to work and it'll be fine. And it wasn't. It absolutely was not. It was for us with the club. It was, we're closed the rest of March. That was 2 weeks. We're gonna cancel all shows in April. We're gonna cancel shows in May. We're canceling all shows in June. And then we tried to do shows to 12 people
and have them like 6 feet apart and all that
it
stuff.
It was so difficult. The fact that it lasted was amazing. But yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, I thought the experts are saying 2 weeks. Then why not 2 weeks?
855-752-4842. We're talking about COVID. It is 5 years ago today, marking 5 years since the World Health Organization declared the global outbreak of COVID-19 to be a pandemic. Since then, millions of Americans have been hospitalized. More than 1.2 million people died. Additionally, millions of adults and children are still dealing with the effects and have been diagnosed with long COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And that is no small thing either.
No.
For folks who have long COVID. And I think news about them has just kind of fallen off the radar.
Well, people who, I mean, honestly, I think people are so tired of talking about it that if you have someone say, I have long COVID, one, they don't know what that means. And two, I feel like people are going to say, okay. Like, it's almost a sympathy get, like you're trying to garner attention.
Yeah. Seth from the Sheboygan area is on the line. Good morning, Seth. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Jane. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you. Thanks for calling in, Seth. What do you want to say?
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, I came off a graduate program in school psychology, so I was a school psychologist at a Eastern Shore school district. And all of a sudden, the mandate came down to close schools, and I felt helpless. You know, I couldn't test kids. I just was kind of at home, you know, watching nature.
Yeah.
So it was pretty profound, you know, and it was a little bit of a guilt because I still got my paycheck, but I couldn't really fulfill a lot of the duties that I know I had to do.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. I can't imagine. I think a lot of folks were really frustrated, Seth. And as you say, gosh, I remember watching so many videos. Remember the parades that people would do past people's houses or teachers' houses?
Essential workers, nurses.
Nurses. Remember how we used to applaud at the end of the evening when healthcare workers got off their shifts?
Yeah.
And the videos from like New York City where people would be standing on their balconies banging pots and pans to say thank you to these people who eventually were working with wearing garbage bags because there wasn't enough PPE available.
Yeah.
And I think it's important, Calvin, I believe we have a compilation of the then president talking about the COVID-19 pandemic. Let's play that first clip, please, Calvin, from 4 years ago.
A national emergency. Two very big words. We don't want people to take a test if we feel that they shouldn't be doing it. 1.4 million tests on board next week, and 5 million within a month. I doubt we'll need anywhere near that.
Dr. Fauci said earlier this week that the lag in testing was, in fact, a failing. Do you take responsibility for that?
Yeah, no, I don't take responsibility at all.
Of course not. You said that you don't take responsibility, but you did disband the White House pandemic office. The officials that worked in that office said that that the White House lost valuable time because that office wasn't disbanded. What do you make of that?
Well, I just think it's a nasty question. Some of the doctors say it will wash through, it will flow through, in interesting terms, and very accurate. I think you're going to find in a number of weeks it's going to be a very accurate term.
Yeah, no.
Didn't.
No.
Didn't flow through, didn't wash through.
None of that happened.
No light helped.
Didn't go away just like that in a couple of weeks, and it's all going to be good. And do you remember, and it's not in that particular clip, but he said at one point, he didn't want more people testing because then you would have more cases.
Yes, he loves to do that. He loves to mess with the sources of data. He's doing the same thing with the economy where he says, oh, they're not going to count certain things so it doesn't look like the economy is as bad as it is. No, people need to test so we know how many people are sick.
That's why he didn't want to let the cruise ship land. Remember
that?
Yes,
yep.
He didn't want to have the cruise ship land because that would increase the COVID numbers. So apparently they don't have it if we don't acknowledge it.
Look away.
Which is a pretty amazing, magical thinking.
You know what that is? That's just a nice, it's just a top of the line thinking, run away. Just don't face the problem.
Well, and that's how he did not respond to that very pertinent question about them disbanding this pandemic panel that was in place from the Obama administration. Yeah. That was one of the first things he did when Trump got elected, was he disbanded it. And yet, did he answer the question? No, he insulted the reporter.
Yeah.
That's how he handled it. Troy and Mark, I see you on the line. We're going to continue this conversation. If you would like to join us, 855-752-4842. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
She gives me. And she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't help. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. James says.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. The Todd Alba Show.
L.A. Tom, L.A., what do you got for us?
We do have a woman problem in this country. There is an issue there that needs to be solved if we are ever to have a female president.
Look at Mexico has a president. Margaret Thatcher. It's just all over the world. I mean,
you have to remember Margaret Thatcher. They had queens.
We have Lindsey Graham. Come on.
Wow, that's true.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, he would not be negotiating with the GOP if he was Wisconsin's sitting senator.
I want to clarify, like, I'm always happy to negotiate in good faith, but we're talking about a party that's not acting in good faith. We shouldn't be in a position where we're throwing a life raft to somebody who was hell-bent on sinking the entire ship.
Not something I want to be involved in.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter right before the break, talking about 5 years ago today, the World Health Organization declared the COVID-19 outbreak to be a global pandemic. So we're talking about those early days, what we remember. I really do think we have a lot of collective amnesia when it comes to those early, that first year of COVID. But we got some great responses coming in that we wanted to share from you.
Cassandra on the live stream said she was a brand new ICU RN in 2020.
Oh my gosh, Cassandra.
And what she goes on to say right here hits you directly where you live in the heart here. I saw way too much death in the early time as a nurse, and I cannot tolerate people that deny it was severe. I'm with you, Cassandra. To this, last year, I heard a young man, he couldn't have been more than 22 years old, his roommate had COVID, and he goes, he's not COVID, it's just a bad cold. And I wanted to take him by the scruff and be like, what are you even talking about? Do you understand what this means?
Do we remember the refrigerated trucks outside of hospitals? Do we remember hospitals running out of PPE equipment? Do we remember people having to say goodbye to their loved ones on FaceTime? People drowning in their own lungs?
Yeah. I'm not a doctor and I'm not a nurse. I don't work in a doctor's office. I'm not a medical professional, but I know we have cold and flu season. Jane, can you tell me the last time cold and flu season happened where they had to back up meat trucks to put dead bodies in there? I don't think that's happened in a very long time.
I'm fairly certain it hasn't. If you would like to join us, 855-752-4842. Troy from Mount Horeb, thank you for your patience. Troy, what'd you want to say?
Yeah, I was delivering soda at the time. So I always told people I'm essential because people need something to mix with their whiskey.
Not wrong, Troy.
No, but going into stores was scary.
Yeah. Yes.
And I ended up catching it. And it wasn't bad because I was way up on. In fact, they had somebody come in and vaccinate us at work.
Yeah. Did you, Troy, have any coworkers who were like, I'm not doing that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There were a few. And they didn't make them.
Yeah.
They should have, but they didn't make them. But, it was weird with me with the COVID because I'm stuffy every morning anyway. So in the afternoon, you know, usually that wears off by noon. And in the afternoon, I was still stuffy and my eyes were watering. And I'm like, yeah, I think this is something else.
Yeah.
This so is... I went home, I tested myself and I had it. But
well, we're glad you're still here with us, Troy. Very much appreciated. 855-752-4842. Robert from McFarland listening in Madison on WMDX. I work with adults with developmental and physical disabilities. My nonprofit made the rule that we could not leave their homes except for walks. Staff were quitting left and right. I was working 80 to 90 hour weeks. The only food I had time to get was some pizza because all the grocery stores closed at 9 when I was getting done. The Beltline in Madison looked like the Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. I got into the habit of driving over 70 at that time. Robert, it was extremely difficult. But this is serious. It was extremely difficult because my clients didn't understand what a pandemic was. Yeah. And during that time, I felt like I was really failing my clients.
I remember, and by the way, I was laughing at the scolding.
I know.
I remember the first time I had to drive. I drove to my mom's house. We had settled it. Like, we were staying safe. I had to deliver something. Driving on the freeway for the first time was so eerie.
It was.
And I felt guilty.
It was like being in a disaster movie.
Yeah, exactly.
855-752-4842. Brian from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Brian. Thanks for joining us. Mark, I'll get to you next.
Good morning. Yeah, you know, working with COVID, I was in the pharmacy at the time. And, yeah, as you say, it was eerie because I would have to take the bus to work. And granted, I had a, you know, piece of paper that says I was an essential worker.
Yep.
But, like, the first time that I left work, you know, right after the pandemic started and there was the stay-at-home orders, it was so freaky, like, so dead.
Yeah.
Even in the grocery store, it was just, you know, because I worked for a retail chain, it was just so dead. You know, and the thing I didn't understand, though, that I really – kind of had a beef with was how many people would come into the grocery store with their whole family.
Oh, like, my God.
You don't need the mom, the dad, and six kids.
Oh, my.
Picked up potato chips.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and the way that people took masking, like, this was the biggest sacrifice they have ever been asked to make in their lives. Still blows my mind.
Yeah.
It does. Thank you so much, Brian. Really appreciate it. Mark, right before we get to you, Calvin, we have one more clip from the then president who presided over the outbreak of COVID. Let's talk about it's all going to go away.
It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
Yeah, that didn't happen.
No.
I can remember him sitting in the Oval Office saying it's all going to be open by Easter. And won't that be an Easter miracle?
The warmth will kill it.
The warm weather will kill it. Mark from Prairie du Sac, you get the last word. Thank you for your patience, Mark.
Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah, I remember COVID hitting halfway into my chemotherapy in 2020. They canceled I was supposed to see the Stephanie Miller show on March 23rd, I think it was, and that got canceled because of COVID. And I was, you know, a little down because I didn't know if I was going to be making it for, you know, that because of the cancer that I had, and that fortunately I'm still here. But I remember the shortage of the PPEs and that, and being alone in the, you know, when I go for treatment, it when COVID hit. You went from having other people to talk to when you get your chemo to being there all by yourself.
Boy, that must have been, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine, Mark. And I'm so glad you're still with us. Thanks for the call. We have a number of texts that we're going to get to on the other side. We have news coming up next. And then we would also love to know, it was 2 years that we were essentially locked down, pretty much. What did you pick up during that time? My sister just texted me a skill that she picked up during lockdowns. So we'll kick that around next. 855-752-4842 if you want to join us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. I want to fly.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
ABC
News. I'm Dave Packer. The Israel-Hamas ceasefire ended Tuesday with a massive barrage of Israeli missiles. Hundreds of deaths reported. ABC News contributor and former Defense Department official Mick Mulroy.
We had 2 months of a ceasefire. That means that the Israeli intelligence didn't have to stop. So they probably were trying to find Hamas leaders, certain strong points of Hamas. So they were ready to go when the ceasefire broke, and it broke. And that's what I think led to all these strikes.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Israel won't back down until all the hostages are released. President Trump's high-stakes call with Vladimir Putin Tuesday lasting 2.5 hours. Putin rejecting a U.S. plan for a 30-day Ukraine ceasefire, but agreeing to stop attacks on Ukraine's energy infrastructure. NASA astronauts Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams made their long-awaited return to Earth Tuesday from the International Space Station in a SpaceX capsule, closing out a saga that began with a bungled test flight more than 9 months ago. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks hit the road. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks begin a long road trip, playing 5 different teams out west over the next 10 days. Tonight, they face the Golden State Warriors. College basketball, while Wisconsin and Marquette get ready for March Madness later this week, the Badger football team's spring practices are underway in Madison. Head coach Luke Fickell talked about the team's offense with a new coordinator, a new quarterback, and a lot of new players.
Obviously, day one, I think most important thing is efficiency to what we're trying to do. Right? I mean, there's a lot of new offense. I mean that in people. I mean that in just, you know, making sure we understand how we got to do things together. I think we're a little bit further along than, you know, I've really kind of spent a lot of time in football the last month and a half, 2 months, with just some walkthroughs and things, not just training and things like that, but doing a lot of football. And that's going to be real important to us.
That's the Badgers football coach, Luke Fickell, with Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. People on social media have been raving about the show Adolescence. They might be onto something, as it is the highest rated show on Netflix for the week of March 10th. The show was discovered by over 24 million viewers between Thursday and Sunday of last week. That's 5 million more viewers than Robert De Niro's Zero Day received, which premiered February 17th. Adolescence almost drew more viewers than a horribly reviewed Chris Pratt Millie Bobby Brown movie, The Electric State, which took in just over 25 million viewers. Regarding episodic shows, the comedy Running Point finished in second place behind Adolescence with just over 9 million viewers. If you're in the mood for some laughs, check it out as Kate Hudson plays an executive who finds herself running an NBA basketball team. So much bingeable color TV to check out, but your time is valuable. So choose wisely, my fellow couch potatoes. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, the wind picking up, a low in the low 30s. Snow showers for tomorrow, 1 to 3 inches possible, but breezy. Gusts to 40 miles an hour with some blowing snow. A high in the mid-30s. Sunny and near 40 Thursday.
Right now it's 31.
The Todd Alba Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
You may say to yourself, self, what if I want to contact Doge and let him know that I'm unhappy with these cuts?
Do you know who had the same idea? Congressman Mark Pocan.
We couldn't get that number off the Doge website, and they literally just said that there is no one that you can speak to, and they didn't provide anything.
The administration of transparency. But you can't talk to anybody. That's okay.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll discuss the upcoming April 1st election with our friends Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
morning. Welcome, welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Brewers spring training continues. Crew taking on the Giants this Friday, 3 p.m. Catch the game on several of our Civic Media Brewers affiliates, including WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, and WBZH in Hayward. The Crew and the Giants this Friday with our coverage starting at 3 p.m. Before the break, we were talking about today is the five-year anniversary that the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 a global pandemic. Talking about your memories of those early days of the pandemic. And we did have a couple of texts that I really wanted to get to as well. Catherine listening in Madison on WMDX, Lakeshore Drive in Chicago became the Autobahn because there were so few people around. It's like, yeah, let's just speed. Who's going to stop me?
No. And if you've ever been to Chicago, they drive fast enough as it is.
Yeah, it's almost like the Autobahn anyway. Yeah. Tony the trucker, Jane, I've been a semi driver for 50 years. The past 21 driving for a grocery distributor, we were considered essential. Mm-hmm. Our hours of service were exempted. We were working 80 plus hours a week. What bothered me was the way people denied and defied what the CDC was saying. People at stores were mad at me that I was masked. Eventually, I did get COVID. Thankfully, it was mild. The misinformation really made me angry. Absolutely. I completely agree with you, Tony. And unfortunately, some of that misinformation was coming directly from the White House.
Yep.
It did.
Yep.
He refused to wear a mask. The president of the United States would not mask up.
He tried to suggest help. He tried to suggest cures, anything that wasn't or saying like we need to wait for the vaccine. Just wait for the vaccine. There was light. There was bleach. There was horse dewormer. Never anything. And then when the vaccine happened, you better thank me because I'm the one who got it done.
Oh, yeah. Another texter listening on WAUK in Waukesha. I'm a mail carrier. Working was like having Christmas every day during COVID because of all of the extra packages.
Yeah.
It was scary. I prayed I wouldn't catch it and bring it home. I live with high-risk relatives.
Yeah.
Carol from Waukesha on WAUK. Driving on the freeway was so strange. We had several at-risk family members, so I would grocery shop for three extra people and make individual drop-offs so they didn't have to go out in public. And finally, Mark, texting in, whenever I see someone in scrubs or hospital ID, I thank them. I thank my pharmacists and any frontline workers. They were exposed constantly.
Absolutely.
Yes, they were. 855-752-4842. And I'd love to know as well, people were home for a long period of time.
Yes, sir.
Did you pick up any hobbies?
Yeah.
What did you do with your time at home and away from work? Again, at 855-752-4842. Cornell from Merrill is calling in. Good morning, Cornell. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for the call. I read an article back in 2019. I studied this COVID. I was locked down. And in 2019, there was an article that the military warned Trump that he has to move on this COVID. And he admitted that back in January 2020 that he didn't want to move on COVID because he didn't want to disrupt the economy.
He didn't want to scare the markets.
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yes, right. And also, a doctor said you should get vaccinated because if the COVID gets into your lungs, it'll mass produce hundreds of baby COVID. And, you know, it's just quite deadly. And I just wanted to mention that if people don't understand COVID, you're talking about movies. A good movie to watch is Contagious by Paltrow and Winslet. And another movie is Outbreak. Contagious movie is very good.
Thank you, Cornell. I appreciate it. Outbreak is an older movie. That's a considerably older movie with Dustin Hoffman. But it gives a really good visual representation of how things that are airborne can spread.
Yeah.
One person coughs on a plane, And that all goes through the air filtration system and spreads it around, essentially. 855-752-4842. And also Bob Woodward, the author Bob Woodward, shared this after the fact, but Trump told him that he knew that it was highly contagious, and he didn't want to say that publicly, just as he said, because he didn't want to upset the markets, because he didn't want the markets to crash.
And didn't that come out in a book recently,
yes,
too?
But that came out in the book later, but he told Woodward that early on in the pandemic.
And I think Woodward took a lot of flack saying, why didn't you say this years ago?
Would have been nice.
Because I want to put it in a book.
Yeah, would have been nice. Ollie from the Northwoods joining us on the line. Good morning, Ollie. What did you want to say?
Well, I'm not an essential worker, but there was a huge number of us who had health care concerns and basically were in jail in our own homes, mm-hmm, and missed the opportunity to be with my kids, my grandkids, my great-grandkids, even to this day, because of health issues. I wear a mask when I go out.
Yeah.
I've only been shopping maybe 3 or 4 times since the start of the pandemic, because it is a concern, and it's not gone away. And for Mr. Trump to get up and poo-poo it, even when he told his own son, it came out in Woodward's book, that he told his own son that it was real. And yet he lied to the people of the United States. He was supposed to be our leader,
yep,
and he did not lead.
Yep. Thank you, Ollie. I appreciate that, and that's really well said. No, he did not lead. And going back to all of the false cures, the horse dewormer, all of that stuff, I did more news stories because I was part of a news department at that time. I did more news stories trying to convince people not to take things that will hurt them.
Yeah. I mean, the
poison control, veterinarians, I can give you a list of all the experts that I talked to that, no, you can't take horse dewormer to fight COVID. Here's why that doesn't work.
I was shopping at a farm in Fleet years ago, and this is not a joke. This is for real. Where they sold the ivermectin, they had a sign saying you had to provide a picture of you and the horse you owned to buy ivermectin, because people were buying this stuff for COVID when people actually needed it for their horses.
Did you start a hobby?
Yeah.
During COVID? Are you still baking sourdough bread? Are you still bragging about your starter? I'm curious. My sister heard us and texted in. She says, I learned how to make brandy old fashions during COVID. I bought my first muddler after watching Charlie Barron's. What a skill. Isn't that when he really took off? Was during COVID?
No, it was before. He was already well known in Wisconsin before COVID, but then
He really took off, though.
But honestly, I'm not even kidding you. In the past year, it's gone into the stratosphere. I mean, like, headlining all over the country, sold out shows, seeing, we could talk about this for hours. But yeah, I mean, he has his own brandy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So. But I remember when my sister, Suzanne, and she showed me that video about it was having the floater.
Yeah.
I just remember the floater in the old-fashioned.
Yeah.
And so what skill did you pick up? What did you learn? What are you still doing that you picked up during COVID? 855-752-4842.
Angie from Monroe says, chickens. I started getting into them. Now I'm up to 50 and I sell them at $3 or they go to the food pantry.
Oh, good for you, Angie.
Yeah, I mean, that's very, very cool.
And you know, Angie, at some point, I would love to have you back on the show to talk about raising chickens, because that was a suggestion by a Trump administration official that Americans, we should all just be raising our own chickens, apparently.
Yeah, why are you a sucker and paying a lot of money for eggs? Get yourself a chicken.
I would love to find out about some of the finer details of raising chickens, because I think the assumption is it's just so easy. There's nothing to worry about. They kind of raise themselves, and I don't think that's true.
I think it's an I believe it's expensive to get into because
you need a coop.
You need materials.
Feed and all those things.
Shizu on the live stream said, I took a national Zoom class from an astrophysicist about world building and writing, and later I went down a rabbit hole of studying different aspects of Chinese metaphysics. My goodness, well, that's cool.
You put us all to shame.
I just built some Lego sets. Wow, okay, cool deal.
I became obsessed with dog mushers.
Like the Iditarod?
Like the Iditarod.
Yeah, my friend does that.
For some reason, this woman showed up on my timeline, and I became that. I would spend hours and hours and hours just following her.
Yeah.
And then eventually into the race. This was after COVID had lessened and they allowed that back. But yeah, that's kind of what I got into big time. Because again, I was still working. I was considered essential. Yeah.
I mean, I was at home. I worked at a barber shop at the time and then the club was closed. And so those first few days were just weird. You'd walk out of the bedroom and be like, so what do we do now? I guess we just watch a lot of television. And then my friend said, hey, do you want to get on Instagram Live and just the two of us build Lego sets? And I'm not kidding you. By the end of it, within a year, I built 40 sets.
Holy mackerel.
From like, 300 piecers to the Bond car or the White House. And I built.
Impressive.
I built a lot of Lego sets.
I bet you were not alone.
No.
Didn't puzzles also run out?
Puzzles went up in popularity. Lego went up in popularity. I mean, it's just
probably just board games.
Board games. I mean, it's very, very like the puzzle one too. Yeah, people were getting crazy for puzzles.
What did you pick up during the pandemic that you still do today? Maybe you're not making sourdough bread anymore. That's fine.
I think Jane just wants you to bring her bread. Like,
that would be nice. Text her on WMDX. I was making my own edibles. Fair enough.
Cops, get in here. We got him.
Fair enough.
That's
hilarious.
Mark is saying horse dewormer is for worms. Antibiotics are for bacteria. Anti-parasite drugs are for parasites. Only antivirals work on viruses. Very true. And I'm not even a doctor, and I pretty much knew that. But yeah, the Lego set was, because honestly, I just watched TV. I should have done more. Looking back now, I should have practiced guitar more.
Picked up an instrument.
I mean, yeah, like I just had all this time.
Calligraphy.
I'm looking back now. I'm like, people started multi-million-dollar businesses out of their homes because like I lost my job and I really like stitching. So I started an Etsy page and, they're selling 5 things a month and then 10 things. And then they go on social media and social media changed that landscape for a lot of people.
Yeah, it really did. Sally is on the line. Real quickly, Sal, we don't have a whole lot of time. Thank you for joining us. Oh, it's Whistler.
Whistler,
good morning. What do you want to say quickly? And your hat's on the way, by the way.
Sports cards. Collectible sports cards.
Oh.
That's what I did. I added to my collection during that time.
Fair enough.
Nice.
Baseball, basketball.
Cool. Appreciate it, Whistler. Thanks for checking in.
Yeah. We appreciate everyone texting and calling today. A lot. I mean, I should have practiced more guitar.
Sarah from Green Bay says diamond art.
Diamond dotting.
Diamond dotting.
Is that bedazzling?
It's not. It's more about making a piece of artwork with little rhinestones.
Oh, I was going to say, my friend got into dotting art where she would like just take a fine pen and dot and would make these beautiful
amazing
pieces. And I'm just like, God, I am not talented.
You made Lego.
I looked at a book and followed instructions.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. It was really very interesting. And I think it's important. Let's not forget.
No.
Let's not forget.
Please don't.
Where we were 5 years ago. We're going to light it up when we come back. This shouldn't be a thing. Today, the Butterfly Kisses edition. You'll want to hear it. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. The Todd Allbush Show.
Let's go to Ollie in the North Woods. Ollie, hiccups or gas, what's worse?
Well, I'd like to frame my answer in the form of a sports. It depends upon whether you're a passer or a receiver.
That's great. Whether you're the passer or the receiver, that's the best line of the day.
The Todd Allbush Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Musk is so arrogant that he is even intervening right here in the state of Wisconsin.
Republican Rep. Brian Steil said in a statement that Sanders was on a fear-mongering tour. Maybe he should be afraid when billionaires can buy the presidency, when billionaires can buy elections. I think that's a little scary. And I think so. We the people should do something about it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, President Young Person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. This is actually my vacation eve.
Okay.
I'll be gone Thursday, Friday, and then on Monday, I'm taking a little trip to go see a friend.
Nice.
Out of town. But Greg and Calvin will be here to hold things down. And coming up on the show on tomorrow, which I think should be really interesting, they recently discovered a shipwreck in Lake Superior.
Yeah.
132 years old.
Is it that boat that those people left and went back to New Jersey?
It is not. Different boat.
Sorry.
Much bigger. Much bigger. It's called the Western Reserve.
Oh.
And Lake Superior sure keeps her secrets, man. That boat's been down there a long time. But we're going to find out more about the Western Venture tomorrow morning, coming up with Corey Atkins. Will be joining us around 11:30, so I hope you can stick around for that. Right now, 11:53, Calvin, that means it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. The headline today reads... Men are now trimming their eyelashes to appear less feminine, and it's a big yikes.
Yeah.
The byline from Ko Miszewski says a new trend claims that toxic masculine men are now trimming their eyelashes to be less feminine, and people are horrified. Manly men who wouldn't be caught dead with lashes are now getting them shaved or trimmed off. Trending TikTok videos show various alpha males, I assume, sitting in a barber's chair with their eyelashes getting trimmed off. It is baffling the internet. Let us remind ourselves, this is an important point. Eyelashes actually serve a purpose.
Yes.
As a protective barrier for our eyes. to help keep out debris and dust and other small things floating around in the air. They serve a purpose. A video featuring a guy getting his eyelashes trimmed off.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah.
Has gotten over 36 million views. Not a rare scenario. The account posted another video showing another guy with his lashes getting shortened to try and look more manly. Captions read, "No, they're not doing this so their eyelashes will grow thicker and stronger. They're doing this because of toxic masculinity, thinking they look tougher with their eyelashes shaved off."
In all the movies, all the TV shows, all the personal interactions I've ever had in my life, I've never heard a single woman say, "His eyelashes make him look like a woman." In fact, it's the opposite.
Yes.
I've seen women say, "I'm jealous of his eyelashes."
Yes.
And I used to be a barber, and I'm going to do a little play. It's going to take very much. You be the customer and say, "I'll be the barber, you be the customer, and tell me what you want."
"I want you to trim off my eyelashes, Mr. Bach."
"No, thank you. Have a good day. Goodbye." That's it. I would never do that as a responsible barber. I know they're doing it. I know they're probably getting paid. And I hope they're charging a ton. But that to me is just so irresponsible.
Well, and as you pointed out, ladies, I'm sure will agree with me, like you just said, if we see a guy with Bambi eyelashes, that is a magnet, baby. It's like, "Oh my gosh, your eyes, they're so gorgeous." Mm-hmm. Yeah, every man hates hearing how beautiful his eyes are.
That is one of the nicest compliments. I remember when I worked at a bank and one guy came, his name is Dan, and all the girls would swoon. Like, "His eyelashes, he's so pretty." I'm like, "Really? That's what's pretty now?" Here I am trying to, like, you know, stay under a certain weight and trying to be cool, and you're like, "Eyelashes, well, great.
Good to know."
Oh, awesome.
I just, for all the guys, if you are inclined to do this,
don't.
Save them. Because there are women who will take them and glue them onto their own eyelids.
If you are asking this question, do not ask your best friend. He does not care about you. Ask an adult. Ask a doctor. Talk to a doctor before you do this and tell them this is something you want to do. Because, once again, they will grow back and you have to go right back to the barbershop. This is... Just don't do it.
Yeah, just don't do it.
Don't.
Butterfly Kisses Edition. Yeah, no. That wraps up today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
We have news coming up next, followed by Todd Alba from noon to 2, Maggie Dawn 2 to 4, Dom Salvia 4 to 6, and then Pete Schwabba 6 to 8 p.m. Mike Clemens, Civic Media News, sports reporter, going to be joining us, joining him rather, to talk a little March Madness.
Nice.
Tomorrow morning, it's Pat Kreitlow early from Up North News Radio 6 to 8, and then Earl Ingram right before us from 8 to 10 a.m. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you, most of all, for calling and texting and for listening. It really does mean the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it, even if it's just a little bit. Keep it right here on the vast Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, don't miss our weekly climate check report with Melissa Baldoff at 6:30. And at 7:30, our homeroom segment on the value of public schools in our state.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
The Madness.
Blackwell inside, and he sends it down with the right hand.
Starts.
Tanjay with bad intentions.
Now.
Long three, left side, bucket.
It's the NCAA Tournament. Join us Thursday, live from Denver, Colorado. It's Wisconsin and Montana. Our coverage begins at 11:30 on your home for Wisconsin basketball.
To the rim, slam dunk, Carter Gilmore.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump spending a couple of hours on the phone with Russian leader Vladimir Putin Tuesday.
President Trump and Ukraine had agreed to a full 30-day ceasefire with Russia, and they went back to Vladimir Putin, and what they got instead from Putin is an agreement to pause strikes on Ukraine's energy infrastructure for 30 days. It is still significant. It's the first time that the Kremlin has agreed to limit its strikes on Ukraine.
ABC News foreign correspondent Patrick Reivel. A federal judge ruling that Elon Musk's attempt to unilaterally dismantle the U.S. Agency for International Development likely violated the United States Constitution. Three cops shot in Pueblo, Colorado Tuesday night. The first shot while responding to a separate incident. Others responding to that also wounded. All officers in stable condition at hospitals. National Archives releasing thousands of pages of declassified records related to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy in 1963. Dave, this is ABC News.